Good afternoon and welcome to the Live Well Lifestyle Seminar with Perry A., where we talk about blocks in our life that are keeping us from the things we really want. And that was a song called Holding On by Rascal Flatts. Last week we talked about fear paralysis and about how we hold on to the old. And this week we're talking about letting go of what no longer works in your life. So, to quit holding on. You know, you can't get to the other side of the pool if you have a death grip on the, and you're, well, on one side of the pool, when you want to get to the other side, you've got to let go and take baby steps and learn to float and kick and eventually swim to get to the other side. But so many of us hold on to what was, because we're fear that we can't create that or something better. And you always can. Things always can get better. So today we're going to talk about letting go of what no longer works in your life. And the first thing to do, your intention, my intention for today, is to identify what no longer serves me. And this can be in relationships, thought patterns, beliefs, material stuff, and to get rid of the clutter. It's garbage day, so get ready to lighten your load. Identifying what no longer works is a big thing, and although this, a lot of us hang on to relationships that don't work, this can be anything. This can be things in your garage, in your office, things that you've had for years that you're no longer using. Recycle it. Let it go. Let it find a home to someone who can use it. I bought a new printer, and I have two cartridges I bought from my old printer. I'm going to take them back to the store, whether they'll take them now or not, because I've had them quite a while. But I'm just going to give them to them if they won't take them, because they're taking up space in my office. I can't use them. They won't work in my new printer. So why do I hang on to them? Why do I let them take up space in my residence and look at them every day? You can tell I've been doing late spring cleaning because I've been getting rid of the clutter, cleaning my shelves, looking through things and finding out, gee, I haven't even looked at this in 6 months. I haven't used it. Why not let somebody else use it for a while? If I want it, I'm sure I can find it again. So the first thing to identify what's not working you is to make a list of what's working and what isn't. Start with what's bothering you. That will tell you what's not working in your life. It can be people. It can be clutter in your office. It can be a kitchen drawers that you can't close anymore because you have too many little things that you don't use. I have a bag sitting on my porch right now waiting for the Ark of Texas. They come by once a month and pick up clothes, kitchen things, items, books. And I have a bag out there now that I'm recycling to them. You know, you don't have to sell it all. If you want, if you're a garage sale person, to me, that's great stress, having a garage sale. So I just as soon give it to someone in need. And somehow what you need always comes back to you. When you give, you also receive. So make that list of what's working and what isn't and what's bothering you. For me, I was looking around my office. I have a whole shelf full of things that I don't use anymore. So why am I hanging on to them? Why am I keeping them? You know, I'm going to get rid of them. They can recycle and be made into something else. You can give them away to someone who might need them. Being a speaker in my life, when I'd go to these conferences and give a talk, they would give me one of the conference bags. And they nearly always gave these leather portfolios, zip clothes, where you can write your notes and put your things in there. And I looked around and I had five of them. How can I use five of them? I kept one and I took them to the office and I offered them there to anybody that wanted them. So I just feel so much better having my space back again. And that's what I want for you. Mental space, physical space, and space with peace. So look, when you make your list, look at what can be changed or what can you can let go of that's not working, and then decide what you're going to do with it. What or whom are you hanging on to and why? Now, there are a lot of reasons that keep us hanging on, and most of them are illusions. The biggest illusion is with people is that they need me. If you think somebody needs you, get a life. They are using you. They don't need you. They need to be lazy so you can do things for them. When you're not there, do you think they're going to just dry up and die? Rarely is that the case. Rarely. Generally, when we get desperate and nobody's there to give us things that we want, we'll figure out a way to get them. People are creative. There's more than one way to skin a cat. So look at the things that keep you hanging on. They need me. I need them. Is that true? Do you need them? Sometimes it's nice for a woman to have a man around to help with things, but believe me, I'm a single woman now, but I have wonderful neighbors, and if I need a light bulb changed or a vent changed or something I can't reach, they love coming over and helping me. Of course, I take them peach cobbler and food and things like that, but I think they would do it even if I didn't do that, but I just like to show my appreciation that way. And it's okay to ask, do you know how much you enjoy doing something for someone? How good it makes you feel? Allow them that same gift to give to you. I should keep it because it belonged to a relative or a loved one. Now, that keeps a lot of clutter in your life. You can have something that your mother gave to you that was your grandmother's, and maybe it's not serving you anymore. But don't feel guilty about it. It's not a guilt thing. They're not here. And a gift is something you give without attachment to how people use it or keep it or what they do with it. Otherwise, it's not a gift. It's a chain. So let go of that. I may need it in the future. Well, if you haven't used it in 6 months, it's a pretty good idea you're not going to need it in the future. You probably don't even know where it is till you started cleaning house and looking around and finding it. And if you need it in the future, you can always find it again. Maybe not in the same form, but I know I was cleaning out some drawers and I actually threw away my copy of a book that I had written. Now, I still have the stories that were in the book in my computer, so I could redo it and probably make it better if I really want to. So I hadn't really lost it. I had just lost the little form and the decorative art that was in there. Doesn't mean I couldn't do it over. Maybe it was time to do it over and make it prettier. So think about that. I may need it in the future. You can probably always get it again. A good friend of mine gave it to me. Now, there's a reason to keep something. You feel guilty if you give it away, right? Well, don't. Again, a gift is something you give without attachment to how the person uses it or what they do with it. Otherwise, it's a chain. Sorting stuff. We've always heard this. Make three piles. You can label them pure garbage. That can be old socks and underwear that have holes in them. You know, you wouldn't even want to give them to the charity groups looking for clothes and things. So just put them in the garbage, the recycle bin, okay? You can recycle things. There are lots of things that can be recycled. Or you can find a new home for them. Just like I did, my mastermind came over and I had a lot of self-help books that I no longer use, and I piled them on the table and let them go through them, and you know they took every one of them. So it's easy to find a new home for things. And again, you can have a garage sale if you're inclined to do that. With each thing, ask, is this serving me now? Look at the item and say, thank you for what you've done for me in the past. but are you serving me now today? Do I have room for you? Are you cluttering my house? You know, ask yourself questions about it. Is this thing or person aligned with your values? Whatever the object is or the person in your life, sometimes we have to let go of people in our lives. Doesn't mean intimate relationship. It can be friends that haven't grown with you and they drag you down when you're around them. You don't enjoy being with them because they're always poor, pitiful me and complaining and whining, and it really makes you feel bad. If you're not a person who's able to listen without attachment and not trying to fix, maybe you need to move on and find some other friends. So, does it bring me joy? Look at the item and think, does this really bring me joy? Is it bringing me joy at this moment? Do I enjoy it, or is it weighing me down? Guess what? If it's not bringing you joy and it's weighing you down, it's time to get rid of it. Have I used or worn this in the last 6 months? Now, there's a good question. If you're not using it, is that an indication? I have things I've had for 10 years that I used to have on my wall, and now I have them in a corner of my closet. Guess what? They're going to find a new home. I'm not a storage facility. Ask each item as you work with it, where do you want to go? Do you want to go into recycle? Do you want to find a new home? And it's easy just to ask people what to do with things. I have cases of books in my garage that when I was speaking, I sold at the back of the room. I'm not using them. One of them is an ice-breaking book. I don't want to recycle them because they're still good and usable, and they're great for teachers. I did a lot of talks in education, and someone gave me the idea you can go to the region educational center and give them there and probably get a donation in kind for them so they can give them out to the teachers. They're great journaling questions and ideas. Have faith. The only way to build faith is to act without knowing the end result. That's what faith is. Faith is knowing you can let go of something, and if you need it, it'll come back to you again. Faith is being able to let go and not know the end result. Now, it doesn't, you know, if it's a relationship, you can say, I'm letting this one go. It's not aligned with my values. They don't do life the way I do. We don't like the same things. Their attitude, they always like to argue, and I don't like to argue, and that isn't serving me. So knowing when to let go and to cut those relationships, and then you think, okay, if I do that, then I'm all alone. Is that true? Are we ever all alone? Maybe physically in a moment you can be by yourself, but mentally you can be anywhere you want to be, and you can make new friends. It's an opportunity to explore. Letting go of what was opens up what can be. You can't hold on to what was and have what can be. Use your imagination and start dreaming about the people you want in your life and where you want to go and what you want to do. And it's amazing how the universe comes in and moves to support you. The only way to build faith is to act without knowing the end result. If you could see the finish line, you'd understand why things happen as they do. For now, you'll need to keep the faith and trust that if you pay attention and stay committed to taking the actions that will make a difference, you'll end up exactly where you're supposed to go. Stay in the game. The finish line is only a moment away. These are excerpts from Cheryl Richardson's book, Stand Up for Your Life. Develop courage, confidence, character to fulfill your greatest potential. I began this session. Last session we had a really, really good one on fear and what's holding us back, and how we let fear stop us from achieving our goals and the things we want to do. and what the fear brings up. I can never have this again. I can't do it on my own. These are belief patterns that we've developed. Can you know that's true? Can you know that's true is the answer. Anytime you have those fear questions that are stopping you from doing something, just question the question and say, can I really know that's true? Can I really know that I can't take care of myself? Do I really know that I can't find someone to help me when I need help? Just ask those questions and see what you get. I have found this list, and it's anonymous. I don't know where I found it. I don't have a name for it, but somebody put it out there. It said 10 hints for successful living. And number one is throw out non-essential numbers. This includes age, weight, height. Let the doctor worry about them. That's why you pay him or her. So don't get tied up in non-essential numbers. What you have in your bank account today may not be what you have in your bank account tomorrow. Money can come from unexplained sources. Always be open to new ideas, for creative ideas, for bringing in more income, or just receiving something. You know, you don't have to know where it comes from. Sometimes we think that our job is our only source of income, and then something unexpected can come. I had a royalty on some property. There were 400 acres, and I had a small percentage of mineral rights to this property. It was like 0.000168. So that's a very small percentage. But on mineral rights, if they drill a well, well, they wanted to lease the property. So I got a nice paycheck for that. And they were drilling well. Now they've found some gas, and they want to pay me a check. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't even realize I had the royalties. They came to me. They looked it up. It was something my father had left me. He was in the oil business. And a lot of times part of his payment was royalty or interest in a piece of property. And now all these years it came up, and it was unexplained income that came to me. Don't stop the universe from giving to you. You don't have to know where it comes from. If you want more, ask for it. Be willing to do some creative things. The ideas will come to you. But you'll be amazed at what can come to you when you allow it. Keep only cheerful friends. The grouches pull you down. Number three, keep learning. Learn more about the computer, crafts, gardening, whatever. Never let the brain idle. An idle mind is the devil's workshop, and the devil's name is Alzheimer's. So no matter how old you are, you can keep learning. I learn something every day, particularly about my cell phone. I just learned that I have a flashlight in it. I didn't know where to go to get it, but people show me. And I saw somebody with a phone like mine, and they were using it as a flashlight, and I said, how did you do that? And they showed me, and I found it, and, you know, it was one of those hidden assets that's there. Never would have scrolled up on my home page. Didn't know I had a little panel below that with different things to do. So pick up a book, read a book, learn something new. I'm constantly doing research and studying clay and studying about people and how things work. I have a very analytical mind and a curiosity. So find something new to try to learn to do. You know, if you're a woman, I don't crochet, I don't go knit. I know if I had idle time, I could do that, and I might be fun to do. So I have that on my list. If I ever, the occasion rises when I'm bored and I need something to do, I know where to go to learn how to do it. No one should ever be bored in this lifetime. Unless you're so old, your vision's gone, your body's gone, and you quit using your mind, you can't watch TV, your hearing's gone, you can't hear well to keep up with news and things, then you're in a state of slow death. But other than that, you have no excuse for not learning something new every day. It will really keep you young. Laugh often, Laugh loud and laugh long. Laugh until you gasp for breath. Laugh so much that you can be tracked in the store by your distinct laughter. So we need to laugh more. Find a funny movie to go to, something that makes you laugh. I love watching Last Comic Standing. Now, I don't like dirty sexual innuendo jokes with a lot of cuss words and things, but there is a lot of clean humor out there. There was a guy on, America's Got Talent the other day. Very funny. Picked up little life situations talking about computers and things, and really took things that relate to all of us that made us laugh. And he had us laughing all night long. Tap into more laughter. Find more humor. It will bring your energy up, your heartbeat up, and you will be more successful in your life if you're happy. The tears happen. Endure them. Grieve and move on. Only the person who is with us our entire life is ourselves. Be alive while you're alive. Don't put out a mailbox on the highway of death and just wait for in residence for your mail. So, you know, if you have something to be sad about, grieve it. Talk about it. Cry about it. But move on. Get over it. Take the good things with you. Don't let it trap you in the past of constantly trying to bring back something that you can't. Make it a tribute. If someone that you love died, make it a tribute to them, to find some way to express what they meant to you in lives for other people, to pass on stories about them. Just lots of ways to do that. Surround yourself with what you love, whether it's families, pets, keepsakes, music, plants, hobbies, whatever. Your home is your refuge. So when you clean out your home and you get rid of the clutter, you really have a lot of joy here. I have a little bitty TV in my office that I never look at. I'm not a big TV watcher. It was someone gave to me a long time and set it up to my little record machine so I could, at the time I didn't have speakers, could use that to get the sound. And I don't use it. You know, I don't know anybody who wants it. It's one of the old heavy box kinds with the big thing sticking out in the box. But I'm going to see if I can find a home that and get it off my shelf and clear up my shelf. And I'm sitting here looking now that I have 7 phone books. Too many, you know, they don't even work anymore because everybody else sells cell phones and they're not listed in the phone book. But I have 7, and I have a computer. If I want to find something, I just Google it on the computer and go find it. I don't even use the phone book. Do I need 7? No, maybe 2. One for this town and one for the next large town over. There's so many ways that we can recycle and let go of things. Cherish your health. If it is good, preserve it. If it is unstable, improve it. If it is beyond what you can improve, get help. We take our health for granted when we're young and we kind of start abusing it and then we get into trouble and unstable. And that's a signal that it's time to reevaluate your lifestyle. And don't be afraid to do that. And if it's gone too bad, go to the doctor and get help. Don't take guilt trips. Go to the mall, the next county, a foreign country, but do not go to guilt country. Don't let anybody guilt you about anything. Everything that was ever done in your mind as you perceive good or bad for someone else or to someone else was just perfect for what they needed to experience or they wouldn't have experienced it. It's their growing pattern. It's what they need. We all bounce off of each other. We are a tapestry woven together. Some of us bring anger to other people, and that anger may be what they need to motivate them. So don't ever judge and go back and resent something. There's no resentment here. No time for for going backwards. Let it go. It happened. It's over. Learn from it and go forward. If it's something you can do better, there's your lesson. But don't beat yourself up over it. I see these little boys playing baseball. My grandson was playing this year, and if he'd miss a fly ball and drop it, he was so mad at himself. He'd walk around, and his head was down, and he was rejected. Or if he missed a ground for... I watched the All-Stars play the other night, the American National League All-Star game. They had the best of every base player, batter, pitcher in the league. Guess what? They missed fly balls. They bobbled a ball. Some of them struck out. They hit base hits that went right to a player, and they got put out at base. So they don't guilt trip themselves. It's part of baseball. It's part of the game. It's going to happen. We're not perfect every time. So don't guilt trip yourself. Put a big star by that one. Tell people you love them, that you love them at every opportunity. Oftentimes I'm talking on the phone to a customer, and I've spoken to them several times, and I really developed a relationship with them, and I feel like I know them. And without thinking about it, when I say goodbye, I love you. And it comes from me. I do it with people all the time. I don't mean it in a sexual mean. It means I care about you. I can relate to you. And I do love you. I do care. I wouldn't be doing these teleseminar shows if I didn't care and didn't love people and want to learn and share with them. You know, I always learn myself, too. And always remember, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. Don't you just love that? I'm going to go over to our page now that I've talked for a while and see if we have any questions in queue. And I'm not seeing any. Just let me go back again. Of course, this is a session when most people don't ask questions. Here we go. Is there a need to eventually, it seems like every time I do two clay teleseminars a month, but the middle one is about lifestyle. So, there are two clay questions here that I'm going to ask because they're pretty short. Is there a need to take clay more than one time a day? How much clay and how much liquid? Yes, there is. Sometimes there is. If you're on maintenance, one time a day may be all you need. It may be 1 ounce. Every person is different. Every person's body is in a different stage of dis-ease or problems or what have you. So it depends on what you're dealing with, what you need. I have some people that drink a cup 3 times a day. I have others that can maintain on 1 ounce once or twice a day, or just take it as needed. I like to take it every day because it keeps my body balanced. So you can take anywhere from 1 ounce once or twice a day to 8 ounces 3 times a day. This is usually for people that have extreme gut problems, fighting things like candida or Lyme disease. It helps to be aggressive. You've got to get on top of it. So it will vary. And the recipe is 1 part clay to 8 parts water. That's if you're using living clay. If you're not using another brand, ask the manufacturer what the ratio is for their liquid. So it's 1:8 ratio. However much clay you use 8 times that much water. You shake it real good. You let it sit, let the heavier particles settle, and drink what the emulsified part is off the top. And here again, you can drink as much or as little as you want. Find your happy place with what's working for you. If you're pretty healthy, you just need a low maintenance level. If you've got problems, if you start getting acid reflux, indigestion, if you have bowel problems, stomach ulcers, a lot of people have ulcers this day and time from the stress we live in. If we're over acidic, increase your clay. But clay is not a drug, so that's not like a set amount. Just play around and find your happy place. And thank you for that question, Robert. And my friend Maria, she said, blogfreepeople.com, detoxified calcium bentonite clay, says wait an hour to drink the clay dash gets electrical charge. Is this true and necessary? So they're saying that wait an hour after you mix the clay to let it get its electrical charge. The minute you hydrate the clay, the electrical charge, it's activated. You don't have to wait an hour. You may have to wait an hour if you don't shake it for it to dissolve, but that's not about the electrical charge. It's instantaneous. In fact, if you just put the dry clay in your mouth, the saliva will activate the clay, and you'll get the electrical charge. It's not something you feel right offhand. It just stimulates the cells in your body and awakens them. We have a lot of dormant cells. It doesn't get you high or anything. You don't even realize it. But most people say after they've been on the clay a while, they have more energy. It may be from the electrical charge in the clay, or more than likely it's because it's cleansed out the colon and you're getting more from your supplements and your food and your nutrition. So, okay. We took those two questions. Thank you for letting me intervene and do those. And we'll go back to the panel page. I do have a poem I want to end with today. And it's the wisdom to let go. We're talking about letting go of what no longer works in your life. It's pretty much aimed at people, but you can also apply this to other things. It's by Gerald Jemplowski. He's an author who wrote several healthcare books on letting go and forgiveness. Okay, to let go is not to stop caring. It is recognizing I cannot do it for someone else. To let go is not to cut myself off. It is realizing I can't control another person. To let go is not to enable, but to allow learning from natural consequences. To let go is not to fight powerlessness, but to accept that the outcome is not in my hands. To let go is to not try to change or blame others. It is to make the most of myself. So let's not try to change or blame others, just make the most of myself. To let go is not to care for, it is to care about. To let go is not to fix, it is to be a supportive. To let go is not to judge, it is to allow another to be a human being. To let go is not to try to arrange outcomes. Oh boy, do we do that. But to allow others to affect their own destinies. They'll find their own way, you found yours. To let go is not to be protective. It is to permit another to face their own reality. To let go is to not regulate anyone, but to strive to become what I dream I can be. To let go is not to fear less, it is to love more. Gerald Jemplowski. I love that poem. We so like to fix and get in other people's business, and as Byron Katie says, there are three kinds of business, your business, my business, and God's business. So it's about staying in your own business, loving people, supporting them on their journey, allowing them to make their choices and suffer their consequences, and be there when they have bad consequences and ask them, you know, what could you have done differently so that won't happen again? So, and it will free you up. You know, like I said earlier, if you can listen to someone who complains all the time, if you can listen to them and not get drug into fixing them, that's fine. That means you're a good listener. But if you think you need to jump in and try to make them happy, forget it. It's not within your power. So the closing thought for today is the secret of change, is to focus all your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. I love that. The secret of change is to focus all of your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. So shift your perception. Don't go to war with something. Build something new. Put your energy there. And you know who that was by? Socrates. He was a wise old guzzard, wasn't he? I mean, he thought of that many, many years ago, and we're just coming to these revelations. The secret of change is to focus all your energy on building something new, not on fighting the old and what was and what you didn't like. And thereby is your freedom. So break away, do something new, pick up a new hobby, learn something different. Let go of some clutter. I'm going to go back to my job of decluttering it. I have sat here and thought, I'm starting with the telephone book, and I thank all of you for listening in and for reminding me to keep going. This is Perrier signing out. And by the way, I do want to remind you that next Thursday, Marg Lonsdale from Canada is joining me again. She was the one with the fantastic clay testimonial on how it really saved her life. And she has a dog business, and we're going to talk about clay for your pets. She has a lot of amazing stories. She uses it on the dogs. They have a dog service and got a lot of good results. And we're going to talk about clay for our pets because, after all, our pets are part of our lives. So tune in on the 27th, Thursday, July 27th, for that special program. And this is Perrier signing out and wishing you a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.